Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Monday, it's a new episode of All Rise, the legal drama where one judge is shaking up the system.
When I take the bench, I'm taking a vow to fight for justice.
One case at a time.
Your Honor,
we're going to trial.
Simone Missick is Judge Lola Carmichael.
Up on that bench. Everything is different.
A new episode of All Rise.
Freedom is at stake. It's important.
Followed by a new episode of Bull, Monday at 9, 8 central on CBS.
Hackers are after your business data. I can help. I am Vi, the virtual intelligence assistant at Virtual Armor.
Virtual Armor, partnered with Juniper Networks, provides cybersecurity services and end-to-end solutions to keep what's yours, yours. Defend yourself with managed firewall and managed SIM essential core services that are economical and efficient. Virtual Armor goes beyond just initial alerting to provide a thorough report on threats, vulnerabilities, and results.
Let me help protect you. Contact me at JustAskVi. That's VI.com.
The following is a sponsored program on WBT.
Investment advice provided on the following program is on an individual basis. Listeners should not consider today's discussion as a recommendation for any investment and should carefully evaluate before investing. This is your Real Estate Today on News Talk 1110 WBT.
Hello, friends, and welcome to the show, Your Real Estate Today. It's Paul Jamison back with you again on this Saturday afternoon. We're so glad that you're spending time with us. If you're a first-time listener or a long-time listener, welcome. We're going to talk today about so many different things. I'm excited. We have a ton of information to share. We're excited to spend time with you. Again, I am the owner of the Jamison family of companies. That's Jamison Realty, Jamison Property Management, and Jamison Property Investments. I'm here with my good friend and a great lending partner to the Jamison team, Sandy Dickinson with Summit Funding. Hey, Sandy.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm good. Thanks.
It's Boy, do we got here. A lot to talk about today or what?
Yes. Yes, we do.
You got like two pages.
I know, and you have a book.
Well, there's chapters in here. Yeah, I do have a book. Yeah, I do. Yeah. Gosh. Thank you for saying something.
Sure.
Speaking of the book, it's Opportunity is Knocking, available at pauljamison.com for an autographed copy or always at Amazon. Make sure you pick the Prime version and it will be shipped to you in 2 days because there's other people selling the book for more money than Amazon Prime is. So make sure if you want to do Amazon that you go to the Prime selection when you do that. You can always listen to us. We've got our podcasts available on the WBT.com website under the Shows tab. Select Your Real Estate Today, and you can listen till your ears fall off. Or go to the Jamison Realty YouTube channel or radio.com. How about that? We're just everywhere. You know, just roll down the window. You can hear us. Mm-hmm. We're out there yakking. All right. Before I start my What I Learned This Week, folks, I'm about to blow your mind. June numbers came out, and I was telling TJ, our producer, about the numbers before the show started. All right, Sandy, are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
All right, you're not going to believe this. So, June 2019, we had 5,866 new listings. June 2020, we had 5,365. So we're down about 500 listings or 10%. Just under 10%, about 8.5% over last year. But get this, the number of homes that went under contract in June of 2020 was 6,174. So 5,365 new listings, 6,174 homes under contract, leaving a deficit of another 800 homes. So what has happened to our monthly inventory? It was at 1.6 before.
Wow.
It is now at 1.3. So about 5 weeks, if nobody puts their house on the market, we are completely absorbed in 5 weeks. That is insane. That is insane. And prices, average list prices, have jumped year over year from $330,594 June of 2019 to $366,537 average list price.
Wow.
Average sales price has gone from $322,717 to $333,938, up about 3.5%. That's pretty good numbers, I'd say. That's very healthy. You know, Lawrence Yoon, who is the chief economist for the National Association of Realtors, said that, yes, we are in a recession right now, and that real estate will be one of the leading indicators to pull us out. Instead of one that pulled us in back in 2008, you remember 2008, Sandy?
Yes.
Who can forget? Real estate is pulling us out. So, yay. Yay for the good guys. All right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, the rest of the numbers are relatively the same. Number of days has gone down. You know, a couple of days on market's gone down from last year at 40 to 38. So, relatively consistent. Cumulative days on market has gone from 49 to 43. That means there's a shorter time on the market. But just be aware that if you're thinking about selling, it's time to have a conversation. Even if it's coming and not right away, start to have the conversation now. We're going to talk a little bit about that from the buy side, too, with Sandy a little bit later on. But, you know, what I learned this week, buyers and sellers can definitely ruin a deal, and so can agents. Aggressive negotiating tactics can prove to be fatal. What's the number one way that a buyer agent can ruin a deal or a buyer can ruin a deal? They can call the seller's baby ugly. That's what they can do. They can think about coming in aggressively, coming in hot, as they said in the when I used to fly, and calling that baby ugly. And I'll tell you what, people are emotionally tied to that house. You call their baby ugly, and you're going to set the stage for some not-so-good things. So, you know, accusations, we should have known that the windows were fogged or that there was this problem, or, you know, non-productive tones in communication, especially emails, where you don't know what the tone is, so you assume bad, right? That's where texting and emailing just don't make any sense, because maybe if you didn't mean it, you know, who's going to know, right? So if you want to go on lockdown, that's how you do it. So I'm going to get the mortgage update with Sandy, and then we're going to talk about how to create the win-win in that scenario. All right? So, Sandy, let's have it. What is the mortgage update for today?
Well, today things are just steady Eddie in the mortgage rate world. So they trickled down a little bit. But that doesn't really mean a whole lot because that would be like if you were getting a 3 3/8 rate, that would be 3 1/4, so maybe an eighth.
That's
so
a trickle.
They're doing nothing but good.
Yeah.
And the market is, you know, the rate market is fairly flat. So if you're thinking you're going to wait and see if they come down more, you need to weigh that against how much money will you be saving if you go ahead and make your move now. So if you're refinancing and you're saving $300 or $400, does it make any sense to wait until August when rates may or may not drop an eighth or whatever, and you're missing out on all those savings? So there's a bond auction today. This is not, we're not live, but we're not expecting anything crazy. We will be looking at the jobless numbers, but there's a lot of, there's a lot of unemployment and people are staying on unemployment. Gee, I wonder why.
Yeah.
But
<Yeah.
laughs> anyway, so there's nothing great out there that's going to change the rates anytime soon. We're in a recession and there's a lot of unemployment.
Yeah, you know, Sandy, speaking of the unemployment, I got a call from an agent today. This is completely off script. This happened between when we, you know, talked through what we were going to share today and now. I asked, why did this house go back out on the market I was interested in? And she said, you're not going to believe this, Paul. We can't make this stuff up. He said the guy went out, wrote the offer, and wrote the offer and said, you know, hey, I'm on unemployment, but they're talking about bringing me back in September. And so he went and applied for the loan, and he's on unemployment. And
yeah,
they called his employer to do the employer verification. The EO, what do they call it? EOV or something like that?
VOE.
Yeah, VOE, right. Yeah, verification of employment. They call and they go, well, he hasn't been here in like 5 months, and we're not sure whether we're bringing him back in September. That's how a deal goes down quick.
That's right, when you don't talk to your mortgage lender first.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, well, Sandy and I have got a full plate for you today. The show, Your Real Estate Today, it's Paul Jamison. We're here on News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. Stay with us. You're not going to believe some of the stuff we're going to talk about. We're excited to share. We'll be right back. Hello, friends. Welcome back. Happy Saturday afternoon to you. It's Paul Jamison here, host of the show Your Real Estate Today, spending a bit of time with you on this Saturday. Thank you for being with us. We're excited to share more information about real estate. I own the Jamison family of companies. That's Realty, Property Management, and Investment. Here with Sandy Dickinson with Summit Funding. And we are talking about the mortgage rates and different things today. We were at the break talking about what I learned this week and calling the seller's baby ugly and how that can blow the deal. So let me just tell you how to win when it comes to introducing repairs or introducing offers or being in multiple offer situations or being in a situation where there is something that has come up. All right. Come in with an attitude of gratitude. Listen, it's not easy for anyone to prepare their home for sale. Emotionally or physically, it isn't easy, right? And being a buyer, you know, maybe you've lost 5 or 6 deals already. Or maybe, you know, and getting ready to prepare and the things that it takes to get ready to buy, you know, who knows where you are emotionally, and you're emotionally tied to a house. It's going to be a big investment for you. It takes work on all sides, is my point. And even if the deal falls through or has headaches, it's emotional, no matter how you cut it. Now, my job is and any realtor's job is to not be emotional, you know, not go cuckoo crazy on the deal. Is to keep everything together. So don't be aggressive, right? Be productive. Don't be aggressive. Don't call the baby ugly. Don't think that the tactic of talk down is going to get you what you want. You'd be surprised. Focus on what matters. Focus on what matters. You know, if it's the fogged windows that's your biggest thing, talk about the fogged windows. Don't talk about, oh, the HVAC is old, even though it's working. We're going to have to replace it someday when the moon, stars, and pink clovers come around. But it's working fine right now. But hey, we're worried about it. And then, you know, and then divert over to the windows. Talk about the windows. If the windows are an issue, talk about the windows. Period. Make it simple. Be clean. And also get your facts straight. When you bulldoze someone, most of the time it's because you don't have your facts straight. A lot of times, as an example, these fogged windows, inspectors don't clean the window to see if it's fogged or not. If you got a dirty window and it looks foggy, they're going to say it's fogged. They're not going to get out the Windex and a roll of Bounty paper towels and clean all the windows to see whether or not they're foggy. So, before you jump down the wagon, make sure you got your facts straight. Before you try to bulldoze somebody. Did you notice what I just did there, Sandy? That was pretty slick there, the way I just diverted that whole place.
I'm trying to think of jump down the wagon. Okay.
That's, I just made up a word to avoid going somewhere else. I learned that there being in radio this long. Bring up things to make a point that have nothing to do with what you're really thinking in your head, but close. All right. Also, here's one I really like. Don't answer right away. Breathe. Now, that's one that comes with a little bit of gray hair. So before you get a response to something and you're going, take a breath. All right? Taking a breath works. And don't be that guy. You know the one I'm talking about. Don't be that guy. You're not going to win if you're that guy. You know the guy I'm talking about, or gal? Don't be that one. That's the one you don't want. Okay? All right. I'm just saying. Okay. All right. Also, I wanted to go back to a subject we had last week that I didn't get to finish. And I got a call about it, and I want to make sure I take care of that caller. Because they asked me, what does a good tenant look like? What does a good tenant look like? All right. And what I'm saying is not physical looks. What components of someone's history and credit and employment, what does that process look like? Chapter 7 in my book, in summary, says this. You like to see three times the rent in income. Three times the rent in income. You got a, what did you say, Sandy? VOE? Verification of employment? They got to be working. Right? I mean, at a job, that is. Okay? Not out in the yard. All right? At least a 540 credit score. We don't want to see evictions, especially within the last 2 years. We don't like to see them at all. We do a national search for evictions. Criminal background. Well, it used to be if they had a criminal background, you could automatically deny. During the Obama administration, they changed that rule to only certain types of crimes now disqualify you from renting. Violent crimes and recent drug-related crimes. All right. Everyone over the age of 18 always has to apply. If you have grown children that will be living with you, they got to apply. And they just can't move in without applying. If they have a dog, we have breed restrictions. Most insurance companies do. Okay? If they say their dog is a terrier, usually it's a pit. Pit is one of the restricted breeds. However, I find them to be one of the most gentle dogs out there. Insurance companies don't like them. Nor do they like German Shepherds, Doberman Pinschers, or Rottweilers, to name a few. I love all dogs, but that is what it is. And if you are self-employed, you're going to need at least 2 years of your tax return, and you're actually going to have to show income. Okay? Some of these things are similar to you, Sandy, and how people qualify.
Yeah, very.
Yeah, you know?
Very.
All right, so we've got about 4 minutes left in the second segment, Sandy. So what we're going to do is we're going to shift gears. All right? We're going to talk to you about, first of all, one of the things near and dear to my heart called multiple offers. Multiple offers. I've seen a lot of those.
Me too.
And I have multiple techniques on how to win. But let's say you do win and you offer over asking price and the house doesn't appraise. Uh-oh. What do we do now, Sandy?
Well, there's a few choices.
How's that for a handoff?
We always go off the lower of the appraised value or the purchase price. And so you'd have to know up front whether you're going to be able to put the difference down if you want that house. Because you can't really always count on that appraiser coming in with the value. So, and then you have to decide, do you want to pay more than the appraised value? And, you know, with values going up, I mean, you would be able to talk better about that than I can. But in some cases, we have people do that. I've had some contracts where it says in the contract that if the appraisal comes in low, knowing there's multiple offers, that the buyer agrees to pay the difference.
Yeah, I've seen that too.
So that's the main thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there has to be a good communication up front, Sandy. I think that's the important part. And then it's always good to let the lender know, I believe, when you're going over asking price like that and making sure that they understand that if it appraises lower, that by putting the additional money into the deal, it's not going to mess up their ratios, right?
Right. Well, it shouldn't mess up their ratios, but it might mess up some other things if they're short on funds, because we usually like to see some money in the bank after closing. And if it depletes all your funds, that's another issue.
Yeah. 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 I think that's the important part, because it's more than just the purchase price and the down payment that you're going to need in order to close a loan. There's other expenses and costs,
right,
and escrows and all kinds of fees, attorney fees, and things like that. Right?
Fees, inspections.
Yep. Yep. Right.
You know.
Right.
Insurance.
Well, let me just tell you what's next. When we come back from the break, one of the biggest things that Sandy has helped people with is credit. And what happens and why you prepare early and how credit plays a portion of that. So get your pen and pencil out, because after the break, we're going to talk about the reason why you would want to do the process early and get involved with Sandy early, and also making sure that you take care of those credit issues as quick as possible. And you know, personally, even me, there was something on my report I didn't know about. So we'll talk about those things and much more. The show, Your Real Estate Today, here on News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Stay with us. Hello, welcome back. Happy Saturday. It's Paul Jamison, your host of the show, Your Real Estate Today. If you're just now tuning in, out and about, all around, driving around, having fun, sitting outside, sipping something, thanks for being with us on Saturday afternoon. This show is about real estate, everything having to do with it, buying it, selling it, renting it, loaning on it. And Sandy Dickinson with Summit Funding is here. And of course, we're here talking about your piece of real estate and how to prepare to buy in this market, or how to prepare to sell or invest. Always glad to do that. Sandy Dickinson with Summit Funding is here. And Sandy, at the break, we teased the fact that we're going to talk about credit, why to get into it early, why to fix it quickly, why to prepare and be ready, because it affects everything from the rate you get to your ability to get and how much you
right.
get.
Mm-hmm.
So why do we start early, and what are your thoughts on the whole process?
Yeah, so I've had several recently that have had lower credit scores. I mean, we can do some of the lower scores. 620, we can even go below that. But if you go below that, we require more money down. So then they get rates that could be as much as 2% higher than the market. So if the market's 3.25% today, you may end up with a 5.125% rate.
That used to be good.
Right. A really good rate. just because your score is not high, and it could be a couple simple fixes. So it's good if you contact me early and let me pull your credit, then we can look at what needs to happen. So a few things. We cannot accept disputes on the credit report. So a lot of people go in and dispute everything that they don't like, and it pulls it out of the scoring model. So you have a fake score. So when we get that, we have to undo all that and then re-pull your credit and then get your real score. So that's a huge problem, because that's what any credit repair company is going to do, is just go in and dispute a bunch of report, dispute, and just keep disputing until one of them gives up, either the creditor or the person disputing it. So that's one issue. Also, medical collections can pop up on your account. You don't even know it, because a lot of times they don't they don't call and tell you that they're doing that. And so just paying them off is not a good idea. So what you need to do is negotiate them off. Like, we want them off your credit report, not just show paid. Because if they show paid, it doesn't really raise your score a lot of times. So we can help you learn how to do that. Also, so it could be as simple as opening a credit card or paying down a credit card. Every case is different. So, and it can make a difference of 100 points or more, just something simple. So I would say definitely that's number one on what you want to do, just to prepare for buying a house.
Yeah. You know, longtime listeners have heard me tell this story before, is when you pulled my credit for a refi or something I was doing. There was a medical bill on there that belonged to my son, who is Paul William Jameson Jr. And that bill was guaranteed by me because it was from a doctor that he used to go to when he was 2 years old. He's 39 years old. What was it, Sandy? It affected my score like 90 points.
It was an unbelievable amount. Yeah, it was a lot of points.
Oh, so Sandy taught me how to have a discussion with them to get rid of that.
Persistence is the key.
Yeah.
And
it was a one-way discussion.
I've had some people, if they call back 5 and 6 times and they get what they want. And if you get it and you get a letter saying they're going to remove it, then we can do a rapid rescore. We don't love doing rapid rescores because we have to pay for those ourselves. But, one or two is worth it to help you guys get loans. If there's a lot, then you want to start early so that your credit has time to update on its own.
Right.
And that's the best scenario.
Right. And just because I don't know the answer and am interested, how many different credit bureaus do you pull from?
We pull from 3, Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion.
Okay.
And one other thing I should mention is school loans. So different types of loans require us to count different amounts of payments. So it's key that we know if you have them, and don't assume that if they're deferred that we're not going to count a payment against them, because we probably will.
Ah, good to know. That a lot of people have school loans.
Yeah, so if you have a $200,000 school loan and we have to count 1% of that amount towards your debt ratio, that's a hefty payment.
Yes, it is. Wow. Yeah, that's a chunk. That's a mortgage payment. All right, so what happens if I did a forbearance and I'm all caught up? Everybody know what a forbearance is? If they don't, Sandy, let them know.
Yeah, so recently with the COVID debacle, we've had a lot of lenders offering forbearance on your loan. So it was super easy to get. Hey, you don't need to make a payment for 3 months, or if you're having trouble making a payment, we can make arrangements. So once you say you're good with forbearance, whether you make your payments or not, that language goes on your credit report and it does not come off very easily. So if it says you're in forbearance and we see it, we're not going to do your loan. We're definitely not going to do it if it's a government loan. If it's a conventional loan and you bring the payments up to date and you make 3 on-time payments, then we can do your loan. So be super careful, because they've made it really easy to add that forbearance language and to offer you not to make payments. Eventually, you have to make the payments anyway. So unless you really need it, it's a good idea not to jump into that arena.
Yeah, a lot of people just, said, all right, this is an opportunity. I don't have to make a payment for 90 days, not really realizing what it's going to do to the potential of them being able to get new credit.
Right, or refinance and get lower payments. Mm-hmm. That can help you out. So, so I think we've had several people angry because they don't report you late if you'd file forbearance, and that's a draw. But then again, you can't get new credit.
Yeah, because you can't take advantage of these great rates right now. All right, so Sandy, I have done my homework. You've helped me with my credit. We've gotten it corrected. I have filled out the very complete loan application through your app, then what happens to my stuff?
So we, of course, we analyze everything. We really look at income now, because if you have varied hours, then we probably will be super conservative and count the lower of the amount of hours you work. So be careful with that. If you're scheduled 40 hours, work 40 hours. Some people decide to take a day off here, a day off there, and then if they don't get paid for it, we can't count your full income. That's been a huge issue with some types of businesses. We're also taking year-to-date income and averaging it to see if you're actually working the number of hours. Because so many people did get cut back with having the coronavirus out there in the world. So we check that. We check your assets. Large deposits are a problem. We look at now is we look at everything's coming out of your account. So if it looks like there's regular payments coming out of the account, we've got to have an explanation. We have to see that that's not a debt under your name. Yeah. So if you're giving your daughter an amount of money every month, if it's not obligated to do that, then we don't count it. But we have to check into that. So it's just kind of a pain. So watch what goes in and out of your accounts. That's key. So it's really basically cash, credit, income, and then we look at the property.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because many parents will co-sign on their kids' leases.
Right. And then we have to prove that the kid has been making the payments 12 months and the leases are not always 12 months. And anyway, it gets to be a mess.
It does. Good stuff to know that you can prepare for. When we get back from the break, here's a question that I asked you like when I just recently did a couple of refis with you. When can I lock my rate? When can I lock my rate? When can I lock my rate? Did you get a few calls like that from me?
Yeah, I think I got one about every day. Where's my loan? When is my rate lock?
When is it going to go? All right, we're going to talk more about that with Sandy Dickinson with Summit Funding. I'm Paul Jamison. Stay with us. We've got so much more to talk about. The Show Your Real Estate Today here on Newstalk 1110 99.3 WBT. Hello, and welcome back to the show, Your Real Estate Today. It's Paul Jamison, your host, spending a Saturday afternoon with you, talking about my favorite subject, and that's real estate. I am the owner of the Jamison family of companies. That's Realty, Property Management, and Property Investments. Here with my lender extraordinaire, Sandy Dickinson with Summit Funding. And Sandy and I are talking about the loan process and preparations for the loan. And then we're going to sneak back over and we're going to talk about some property management issues. And one of those is making sure you avoid, and this isn't just for property management, five ways to avoid hiring a bad contractor. Ooh, been saving that one. All right. But Sandy, at the break, I state your name, asked you multiple times, when can I lock my rate? When can I lock my rate? When can I lock my rate? When you were doing my refi.
Right.
So you erased all the texts, when can I lock my rate too? So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Yep, she did.
Yep.
Okay, so when can I lock my rate, Sandy?
Can lock your rate. We have up to, the ideal is anywhere between 15 and 60 days within closing. So, I mean, the ideal is when you're within 15 days. So that's why I kept putting Paul off, because the better rate was closer to closing and the rates were not doing anything major other than improving. So that's kind of why. And I mean, no guarantees. I don't know what's happening with them. I just saw a trend and I kind of listened to a lot of things. And that was my recommendation. But if you're nervous, lock it. And if you're happy with the rate, lock it when you apply or lock it when it gets approved. Really, it's up to the client when they want to lock. So we mention it throughout the process. And if it's a purchase, you may want to lock sooner than later just because the purchase rates seem to be a little bit better than some of the refis. Now, that comes and goes. With the capacity, most lenders are at capacity now. They're just super busy. So they're trying to control the refis. So they're raising the rates on the refis. So I would say those would be a little trickier. The purchases, they're going to they're going to be about the same no matter when you lock them. 60 days would be a higher rate or a higher price than a 30-day or a 45-day. So the closer you get to closing, the better the pricing gets.
Gotcha. One last question with this.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm self-employed, which I am, and many listeners are, what are some things to think about if you're self-employed and you want to purchase a new home or refi your existing home?
Yeah, so definitely have things in order, like your tax returns. We have to have all the pages of your federal plus the statements. So, because a lot of times the returns will reference a statement and we have to see it. So have your returns ready for the last 2 years, or, you know, if you file extensions, the most recent 2 years. And then we'll need profit and loss statements and balance sheets for whatever period of time that we don't have. For instance, if you haven't filed the 19 return, we need it for 19, and we need it for year to date. So some have to do a P&L, even if you typically don't do a P&L.
Yeah.
We have to know what the income and what the debts are,
yep,
or the expenses, because we have to see that your business is still doing well, regardless of what happened in the market.
And they want to make sure you're paying taxes.
That's right. So we always look at the tax liability to make sure it's paid. So you keep proof of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then now with COVID, we're going to need bank statements and super up-to-date P&Ls to show that your business is still doing well amongst all this craziness.
Yeah. I remember you asking for those. Yep. All right. So let me talk about contractors for a minute. You know, there's a lot going on right now, and there's money floating around out there. Here's some ways, and this was published by Inc. magazine, and then I put my own 2 cents on it. 5 ways to avoid bad contractors. The first one is to make sure that they're licensed. You know, unlicensed contractors, and especially uninsured contractors, are always a risk. You know, a bond is not that expensive, but a license, you got to go out and basically pass the test to know what you're doing. And there's a lot of unlicensed contractors out there, and some tasks, that's okay. But if they're working with my wiring, my plumbing, you know, my roof, I want a licensed contractor. And I will add this, if they go, we don't need to pull a permit to rewire your house, I'll get this taken care of. How about no? How about heck no? Because that's a real problem. And we'll do another show on permitting, okay? Next, I don't like this answer, but I'll say it and then we'll talk about it. Consult online resources such as Andy's List, Yelp, or the Better Business Bureau. Now, it's kind of like Zillow giving you an estimate on your home. No one's going to put anything on those sites unless they're already mad, most of the time. Yelp is for restaurants. You know, if I'm hiring a plumber, I'm not going to look where most people go to put a review about restaurants. All right? I prefer to talk to people they've already done business with and get referrals. These online resources are unfettered and most of the time not accurate. So, do they have some merit? Sure. But don't take it as the only source. Okay? That leads into the next one. Ask a friend or a neighbor for recommendations about a specific contractor in the community. That's always a great way. Somebody you trust gives you somebody they trust, right? Do a brief litigation search. Jump online and see if there's any lawsuits or anything against some of these people. With the data available today, you can do that. And then look for red flags. Look for their responsiveness, the way they return calls, the way they operate, and that's a trend usually of what's to come. It's the same in a real estate transaction. If they are difficult in the beginning, they're going to be difficult all the way to the end. So make sure that they run their business in a professional manner. You know, It's important, I think, through the whole process. All right, six steps to take if you hire a bad contractor. All right, number one, document the issue and take pictures. Number two, make sure you communicate in writing. Communicate in writing your issues. Make copies of all the correspondence, any email exchanges, text messages between you. That way you can hold them accountable and you've got proof rather than a he said, she said kind of engagement. Always document those conversations. It's important. Next, contact their bonding company or insurance company. Let them know what's going on and what the issue is and what the agreement is. The bond is basically a promise that the contractor will perform the services according to the contract. And if they don't, then the property owner can contact the issuing agent of the bond and receive compensation. Next, consider small claims court. You don't hire an attorney that costs you $10 over a $5,000 issue. It's like running over dollars to pick up dimes. Don't do it. All right? And then before you fire them, just double check with an attorney. Make sure the language in the contract doesn't come back to get you for some reason. And again, here's just a couple of my quick ones. I said before, I do not like Yelp. Trust but verify. They hide their positive reviews, and then they call you and they want money to undo them. That's what Yelp does. They did that to us. All right? Talk to, you know, be careful about how you give them money. Don't give them 100% up front. You know, make sure you give them money in a reasonable, rational way. Talk to companies like mine, property management companies. We have a tremendous amount of subs and that are very loyal and take good care of us. We're always looking for more, but make sure you do that and get good references. All right? So don't let anybody get burned. Ask questions. And next time I'll talk about painters and some questions to ask there. All right? So, Sandy, if somebody wants to do a loan, how do they get to you?
They can call my mobile, 704-577-0144.
Wonderful. Thank you, Sandy, for being with me. If you want us, it's 846-DONE, 846-3663, or on the web at myjamesonhomes.com. Or for a copy of the book, go to pauljamison.com, and I'll send you an autographed copy. Thanks for spending your Saturday with us. Man, the time flies, and we hope to see you next Saturday. Take care, Sandy. Take care, all, and God bless.
Monday, it's a new episode of All Rise, the legal drama where one judge is shaking up the system.
When I take the bench, I'm taking a vow to fight for justice.
One case at a time.
Your Honor,
we're going to trial.
Simone Missick is Judge Lola Carmichael.
Up on that bench. Everything is different.
A new episode of All Rise.
Freedom is at stake. It's important.
Followed by a new episode of Bull, Monday at 9, 8 central on CBS.